Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know. More than a feeling, Jesus said it in his word. You cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all right. He will make it all right.
Good evening and welcome to Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans. And I'm thankful to be with you tonight, and I'm thankful for those of you who are tuning in and have tuned in every single week since I started on this journey about 5 years ago. And I really started this show out of necessity, out of something that was missing in my own life when I was going through my darkest hour, my saddest days, and I listened to radio and I searched television trying to find a sound that could somehow acknowledge what I was feeling and what I was going through in my life. And there really wasn't anything that not only spoke to the loneliness and the darkness then, even though I was a person who had put my faith and trust in God. But I felt this overwhelming heaviness on my life. And I really didn't have a voice there that was saying, you know what, you can not only make it through, but there's a process that you have to go through. And you're going to get to the other side, but you have to go through the process. And that's what Don't Give Up Radio is about. That's why we're here, to talk to you about the in-between spaces. And when I started the show, it was actually called Songs for the Midnight Hour. And I often said that the midnight hour is not a time on the clock, but it is a place in your life. It is a place that every human being has to go through. And tonight, we talk about depression. Depression is as depression, isolation, apathy, emotionless, self-focused. You know, you just work and sleep and work and sleep, and there doesn't seem to be any real reason to get out of bed in the morning. And so when this happens, it sneaks up on you, and you might not even realize it, but you are depressed. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the different types of depression that face us, but that's basically what it is. You are depressed. And a few weeks ago, I was revisited with this depression. And there are many different types, as I mentioned, but the word itself kind of stuck to me in terms of depressed, because when you have an olive or a grape and they're on a hard surface and pressure is on them, that pressure causes whatever's inside of them to squirt out, right? And that product on the inside is what becomes beneficial to others. But now if it is in a moist place like soil and it is depressed into that soft soil, it goes under and is no longer seen. However, it is not dead. It is in a dark place. It is isolated. But there's something that is being birthed, something that is going to grow out of that process that is magnificent. And we're also going to look at some scriptures, and we're going to see why there are times that God allows a depressed time to be on his people, but it's because he's working out something that is even greater that we don't even understand. And a few weeks ago, as I mentioned, you know, I was looking at the state of the world the injustices, very close to home, friend who lost her son to police gunfire, coming back from that funeral, the natural disasters that have hit Nepal, and, you know, friends with illnesses, people who are in jail, loneliness, confusion, all types of things that are swirling in this world. And it can keep our eyes off the focus that it needs to be. But I was reminded, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Let me tell you something. When you are going through that dark place, you don't necessarily want to grasp all of that. But as I continue to share songs and stories with you and verses with you throughout the show, I will want you to get to a place where you understand that the Lord has only the best for you. And while not everything we go through is good, it will be good. It will produce the good that he wants produced in our lives. Things will get better. That's the truth.
I was almost done. I wanted to
Tonight who has or is suffering with any form of depression, you don't want to stay there. You want it to get better. It's just an issue of knowing how to keep on walking and how to take one step and put the next foot in front of the other one. It seems so hard and it seems so impossible. And it also feels like it's not worth it at times, but it is. Because you're here not only for yourself, but there are other lives that are depending on your life. We are not isolated. We think we are, and the world is moving so fast that we feel like we are. So many who are depending on us to walk out our lives so that they can walk out theirs. Now, I said I would talk to you just briefly about the types of depression, and I say briefly because I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a clinician of any sort. I'm just talking to you from my experience and from what I've studied and what I know. And just briefly, you have situational depression, which is going through a traumatic or very difficult period of time in your life. It could be a divorce. It could be something that has happened abruptly in your family, in your home, in your finances. But it is situational, and it's something that most people would believe, if I can just write it out and get through this season, it will be okay. So it's a situational, periodic thing. Well, I wouldn't even say periodic. It's really quite short-term. That's a better word for it. But there is seasonal depression, seasonal affect disorder called SAD, and some people get this during certain times of the year. If you live on the East Coast, we get less sun than people in other parts of the country and less vitamin D, and we are more prone to depressive cycles because of the lack of vitamin D and sunshine. And then if you're African-American, you have darker pigmentation, you're even more prone to having seasonal affect disorder. And again, it's really determined by the season. Some people have it during the winter season. I actually had seasonal affect disorder during the fall. So as soon as the season changed from the summer, it would come on rather quickly. And it took a while for me to figure out what was going on. So I actually take vitamin D once I realized my doctor explained to me what was going on in terms of my vitamin D levels and why it was happening, and that helped in terms of that piece of thing, that part of it, but there's more to it, and we're going to get to that. There's also chemical imbalances that happen in your brain. Now, the brain is an organ, just like your heart, just like your liver, just your like your kidney. And our body functions on neurological synaptic impulses that are being sent through the body. And if those aren't working properly, your body's not working properly. And the brain controls everything. We know that. And for some reason, especially for people of faith, feel that they can't acknowledge chemical depression as being real because they can't see it. But I know for a fact, if something was wrong with your heart, you would take heart medication. If you broke your leg, you would get a cast. And you have to take your brain, the most powerful organ in your body next to your intestines, believe it or not, those two are actually more important than your heart in many ways, found that if there is something wrong there chemically and it's not really able to properly balance those chemicals, those hormones, all of the synaptic neurons in the body, then we are not going to respond and function as we can. There's no willpower on earth that's going to make someone be able to just override that. It is a physical issue that has to be addressed physically with medication. And so that means, you know, there are times that we have to say, well, how long have I been sitting with this depression? How long have I tried to shake it? I've been exercising. I've been eating right. I've been praying. I've been talking to people, getting counseling, but it's just not getting better. At that point, you really need to take the proper exams, go to a physician and see what's going on. It doesn't mean you have to be on horrible medications for the rest of your life. There was a season when I went back to college as an adult, and I had three kids, and I was going through a divorce, and here I am at Columbia University, and I'm working a job, and I, you know, I could, the list can go on and on and on. And there came a moment where I just felt like I was going to crash in. And the reality is that people in my family or people at church, or, you know, they would say things like, you're going to make it, you're going to get through, and they meant well. But when you're just trying to scrape by and just get through one moment at a time and someone just pats you on the back and gives you a favorite verse, it doesn't help. And when I sat in that psychologist's chair and I told him everything that was going on in my life, he looked at me with the greatest perplexity and said, why do you think you aren't supposed to be here? You are supposed to take this time for yourself, take an hour for yourself, and talk to somebody and let this out. You're going through so much. And he was the first person to actually acknowledge, verbalize, yeah, you're under a lot of pressure. You've got a lot going on. You need to take a moment. And part of that taking a moment meant meds for me for about 6 months, very low dose, but it was almost immediate that I could feel my brain kind of slow down and I could think clearly. And I thought, wow, is this how other people's brains feel all the time? And it was great. And I haven't had to go back since. But don't feel that because you're a Christian, because you're a believer, that meds are some evil decision and somehow you're weaker because you needed to do that or you need to do that. Just bring your body into alignment, you know, and do all the things you're supposed to do, but treat it. Your brain is an organ and it needs to be treated. There are also genetic issues. We know with things like bipolar or schizophrenia, these are have genetic traits and they can be passed down genetically. And so it is not best to ignore the fact that that's in your bloodline, but to know that it's there, and if you see the signs, to get help as soon as possible. So that's as much as I'll say on that end of things. But, you know, people, when you're going through these stages, no matter what it is about and feeling depressed, and you speak to people about it, what they actually hear you say is, I'm sad, right? And the reason why you know that is because they'll start to ask things like, well, why do you think you're feeling this way? As if you said, I'm sad, which is not the same as being depressed. especially when you're talking about seasonal depression, a long time, I call it a love relationship with depression, it is not something that others can grasp readily unless they've gone through it themselves. At my stage of things, I can look at somebody and listen to somebody and see where they are. That's only because I've walked through it, and so you're no longer invisible to me. I was blessed to read a wonderful newsletter by Jan Crouch this week, and she shared how she was in such a dark, dark place. And she just stayed in her room, stayed with the lights off, and just slept and cried. She wasn't listening to Christian music. She wasn't watching PBN. She was just barely functioning. The most she would do is get her sons ready for church on Sunday. And she wanted to stay home, but her husband asked her to come, and she did. And she sat in the back row, and she just kind of, you know, was waiting to leave when she noticed a woman who was crying at the altar, and no one seemed to be paying attention to her. And she's the one who noticed her, and she's the one who, just even in her lack of emotion and her lack, she went up to her, and she asked her, you know, what's going on? And she heard a story from this woman that was so horrific, and she was able to tell that woman, you know, Jesus loves you, and he sees you, and he can help you right where you are. And without even knowing it, she was giving to that woman something that only someone with her eyes could have given. No one else could have just tapped right in to what she was feeling, unless it was from someone else who was the same type of hurt and that same type of loneliness and depression. So when we go through these things, we don't want to hear it's going to be for someone else's benefit at some point later on. But I will tell you that Psalms 34:17-22 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord redeems the life of his servant. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. What a wonderful, wonderful promise that we need to hold on to. When we're in this place, we need to be able to reflect back. I know this is Mother's Day weekend, and probably not the topic that most people would want to hear for Mother's Day, and yet it's one that I needed to share with you. There are moms all across this country who are losing their children. This is a time when great catastrophes are happening all around us, and people have lost loved ones. And so when these holidays come around, we want to pretend as if everything is perfect in the world, but there's real hurt that's going on. And I'm going to share with you a track from my CD, My Strength, My Song, and it's simply my story. And the music background is to No Weapon by Fred Hammond. And it just gives you an indication of where I was and what my story was like. And then when we come back, we're going to talk some more. And it is my goal to take you through the process so that you understand that where you are today is not where you're going to be tomorrow.
I would like to tell you that after 6 years of trials, heated circumstances, and tribulations, that sunshine was in sight. But the truth is, it would still be another decade before significant changes. The pain was so bad. I cried every single day. And I don't mean that cute crying either. I'm talking about that ugly stuff. I remember going into the bathroom to cry so that the kids wouldn't see me. I would slam my head against the wall just to keep from feeling the pain in my soul. I could not get out of bed in the morning, and the tears would seep from my eyes before I even woke up. I had finally lost all hope. I thought, surely the promises in the Bible were not for me. There was nothing for me to do at that point but wait to die. I didn't even feel worthy of the oxygen I was consuming. My mistakes to me were irreversible. So I stopped. I stopped everything. I stopped reading my Bible. I stopped praying. I was still going to church, but I was not even trying to look happy or wear the mask anymore. Condemnation was holding me like a prisoner in chains, and the weight of its burden was calling out my name. One Sunday morning, while still listening to Christian radio, God used the only venue left open to speak to my heart, and that was music. There in my kitchen, He hit me so hard with a personal promise of hope, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's what this song said over and over again. It stopped me in my tracks, frozen. Tears flowed down my face. Could I dare to believe again? Should I even try? I was already at the point of contemplating suicide. I got my will in order and I was just waiting. But instead, I searched out the Spirit of David CD by Fred Hammond, where this song was what I listened to daily, as if it were medicine prescribed by a doctor. And I tell you the truth, this CD saved my life. And I want you to know, wherever you are today, whatever your situation or circumstances, know that God is true and Satan is a liar. And you must believe that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Take one step today, one stand today, and dare, like I do, to hold on to this promise. And I promise you, He'll see you through.
Indeed, that is a true promise. It is one that God made me in that kitchen years ago, and He has proven Himself to be true. And it took some time, as I mentioned, but the day came when depression completely lifted from me. And I know you're saying, well, you just said a few weeks ago. Well, I'm talking about that type of depression where it was day in, day out, all day long, relentless, week after week, month after month, year after year, just a heavy heart of sorrow to the point where you were numb inside and you just didn't care about anything. That's what I'm talking about. Not just dealing with the pressures of life like I was a few weeks ago. it was the point where there were pressures on the outside, there were pressures on the inside, and the threshold just became so much. And what I allowed to happen in my mind was, I said, you know, there's nothing no one can do anyway. This is something that only God can fix. So it doesn't even make sense for me to talk to anyone about it because no one can help me. And so that in itself is a lie from the enemy. And usually at this point, I catch it. And one of the tips I'll give you right now is that when you have stuff like that come into your head, you have to have 1 to 3 people that you can just text or email or call and say, hey, I need you to start praying for me right now. And these are people who don't even need to hear a story from you. They don't need to know what's going on. They don't need to ever ask you what's going on. They will just start praying for you right away. And you need to have the courage to identify who those key people are and to definitely step out and use them, utilize them for that, because that's what we're here for in the body of Christ. I'm so proud of one of my dear friends today who reached out to me to ask a simple question, I thought, and even in the course of our discussion, just because of the fact that she reached out, God was able to speak to her in such a wonderful way and reveal to her the very answer that she was looking for. And it wasn't because I said anything brilliant or, you know, wonderful. It was just because she reached out. And when we reach out and allow your brother or your sister, and God has promised that where 2 or 3 are together, that he's in the midst, and when his presence is there, his mind, his spirit is there, we start to think like him and speak like him. And so that is what we need to be encouraged to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we might be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Okay, so maybe if you don't understand what that's saying, it's saying the reason why when we're going through the things that we're going through, the Lord comforts us through it. He helps us through it. He gets us through that affliction. And as we have learned from that experience, we're now able to turn around and comfort someone else. So that's why I said we're not in a bubble. We're a part of a family that wraps around this whole world. And it doesn't matter the color. It doesn't matter the religion, the doctrine that you're sitting under. If we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we can comfort each other and bring each other out of that. Now, I talked earlier about, I mentioned the term love affair with depression. I term it that way because you can be sitting in it for so long that it becomes your normal, it becomes your comfort in a way. As much as you hate it, there's something about it that's so familiar. It's like a, you know, wrapping yourself in a blanket. There's something about being in that dark room with no light and tears streaming down your face, and you get in that mode that becomes your life. But I was reminded this week about Hannah, and Hannah had a reason, you could say. She had a wonderful husband who adored her and who took very good care of her, but he also had another wife, and that wife was antagonizing to Hannah. That wife had children where Hannah could not, and it wasn't because Hannah was envious of Penina. It's just that she loved her husband. She wanted to be fulfilled. She wanted to have a child. She wanted to be pleasing to her husband and have a family. And there's some times where we have everything, but we're missing the thing. We're missing that one or two things that we think would make our lives complete. And she goes before God the Father with this heavy heart, with this broken heart and contrite heart. I think of Psalms 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. God will not turn away from that. And so Hannah went, not in pride, not in boastfulness. She wasn't saying, you know, I'm better than the other wife. I'm, you know, I'm more faithful to you, God. It was none of that. It was just, look at my misery. She was just pouring out with honesty and sincerity. There's no guilt in doing that. Pour it out, because God knows anyway, and he wants you to pour it out on him. And that's when he can actually begin to come in and do that work. That's when he can provide that strength for you. You know, there's a song also by Fred Hammond called Song of Strength. And it talks about the fact that pain doesn't care where you live or who you are. But in the midnight hour, that song of strength will come from the Lord, and he will build you up.
What do you do
when the life you planned is shattered?
What do you say
when the one you love is gone?
How do you live
when there's no hope for tomorrow?
Pain doesn't care
where you live or who you are.
My life is broken. I don't know what to do.
My
life is a change. Help me remain.
Yeah. When I cry out, yeah,
I know you feel.
Now I am praying, yeah,
I know you hear.
Keep it right, praying for healing, yeah,
I know you will.
Who do you call
when no one has the answer?
Where do you go?
The place you've known is no more.
When will it end?
All the tears, they just keep falling.
Pain doesn't care
where you live or who you are.
My life,
I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
Just a little while,
yeah.
All the strength in the midnight.
Minister Thomas Whitfield would have put it like this, just a little something like this, but say it.
That my Jesus needs, I guarantee you he knows. The road is rough, the going gets tough, the hills are hard to climb.
Wants you to do, he wants you to let go. He wants you to give up because he doesn't want you to make it through to your destiny point. He doesn't want you to help anyone else get to this. He wants you to let go, but I tell you to hold on. That's what the word of God, the scriptures, the verses that I've been sharing with you all night is telling you, don't go. Okay, so one of the key things, you have to pray for your healing, right? And part of the process of that is forgiveness. Got to be able to forgive those who have harmed us and let go of that. But guess what? My biggest thing was being able to forgive myself. I had more condemnation in my own heart, in my own mind than anybody else. And believe me, it was coming from the outside. Okay, so to know that I even had greater than that. And it, in some regards, it was easier for me to forgive others, but it was such a struggle to forgive myself because I felt that I was responsible for the decisions that I made. And so once you forgive, you ask the Lord to forgive you, number one. And so once he has done that, guess what? He's not like us. He's not storing it up in his memory so he can throw it back at you one day. It is literally forgotten. And so when we come and we're trying to bring it up again because of our guilt and things that we're going through, he doesn't even know what we're talking about because he's like, I've already forgiven you for that. It has been dealt with. And some of you have heard this before, but you haven't embraced it yet as truth. You haven't allowed yourself. But, you know, Charles Stanley was saying in his devotions this week, what do you gain by holding on to not forgiving yourself? And not moving on is not going to get you closer to the Lord. It's not going to help you reach your destination and your goals in life. So it's of no value for you to continue to persecute yourself. So you have to let that go and forgive others, forgive yourself, and God will give you the fortitude to do it. Believe me, whether it's molestation, whether it was just cruelty or stupidity or abuse, he will get you to a place where you can forgive, because God's love is that great. It is that strong. Now, here's the thing. I've been talking all night as if everyone who's listening is already in this relationship. But I want you to know, as I often share on this show, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that you really need to get to a place first where you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and he lives forevermore. And that is why and how he can help you, raise you up from your darkness, raise you up from your death place, and bring you into life. Depression is something that can happen to anyone. But for those of us who are called by his name, we absolutely have a power that is available to us where we do not have to stay there. But you need that power in order to make it. We are not immune, but that power is available. Now, part of that power we're going to see right now has to do with our ability to pray. So I talked about having people that you're accountable to, that you can call to pray for you at any moment. I've talked to you about forgiveness and letting go of hurts that may have come your way. And now I'm talking to you about praise. Now, all of these elements are necessary for us to exercise and actually live out in order to defeat this very nasty monster who's very diligent and day and night, night and day, won't let up, relentless. And depression is relentless. And I thought of three people in the Bible that I believe, I see them as having different bouts with depression and handling them very differently. So first, we look at Jonah, who definitely went through a traumatic experience, whether he brought it on himself or not. The issue is he went through it. You know, he was thrown overboard into an ocean, swallowed up by a fish in that fish's belly for 3 days, thrown up onto the shore, and was, you know, forced to go somewhere where he didn't want to go. And there came a point where he accepted the task, but he didn't understand how great God's love was, because the people of Nineveh were really wretched, okay? And they were doing some horrible things to God's people. And so he thought, okay, God, I'm finally here. I'm going to go and tell them what you told me to tell them. But he actually didn't think that they were going to change their ways. And guess what? They did. And his heart wasn't ready for that. He thought, oh my gosh, how could God forgive these people? How could he show mercy to them? But that is how our God is. He is merciful. And so I don't know whether he was for judgment or, but he sat there brooding and complaining. And there's no sense from the way his story ended that he ever had a shift in his mindset or his emotions. And that's not who we want to be. We don't want that. We want God's will to be done. And sometimes we're dealing with people in our lives, and there is that emotional, like just guttural part of us that wants to see, you know, fire rain down from heaven. But that's not who God is. And to be honest, if he was that way, we wouldn't even be here. So if we want his mercy extended to us, we have to be able to allow his mercy to be extended to others, whether we personally get along with them or not. It's irrelevant. Then I think of Elijah, and he had just got finished doing a great work. He had gone through years of a famine and great faith in the face of adversity, and he just was on a mountaintop experience where he was able to do just a great miracle for God. No one has done as many miracles as Elijah. And yet he found himself at a place where he was asking God to just take his life. Come from doing something spectacular. And then he was just, you know what, God, I'm done. It's over. Just end it. But God is wise, and he understands where we are. And so what God did was he provided him some very practical assistance. He gave him food. He gave him rest. and he gave him conversation that anchored him back in reality, because sometimes we get so caught up in our minds and ourselves and what we're doing, we don't realize there are others around us who are going through, who are holding up banners, that you're not the only one facing what you're facing. You know, when I was going through, I had a sister say to me after I, you know, poured out my boo-hoo story, and she said, "What makes you think you're the only one in the world who's facing this?" And it was kind of like a slap in the face, but then I had to realize, you know, nothing is new under the sun. There's got to be other people out there. And that made me want to find you guys. You know, that made me want to connect. But God took the time to give Elijah what he needed. And sometimes we are not resting enough, we're not eating properly, and we're not allowing ourselves that time in the Word where we can really hear from him and be anchored in reality, his truth, not what we see around us, not what's swirling on the news, but his reality. And finally, we have David. And many of you may know that the Psalms were written by David. And David was always very true to express his heart, whether he was going through pain, whatever it was, he poured it out before God. But at the end of it all, he always gave God what was due to him. He acknowledged the majesty and the love and the grace and the mercy of God. He always ends up praising him. And that is why David's heart was so precious to God. It was that praise. John 16:33 says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace." This is Jesus speaking to the disciples before he went to the cross. "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So because he lives, you can live. You can face tomorrow. That's what that wonderful song says. This is true only if you have that intimate relationship with the Savior, only if you know him as Lord of Lords. And so I encourage you right now, you know, we throw this term around to be saved, but it really does. It saves you not only from, you know, to an eternal life, but it saves you every day in this life that we live right now.
Not by righteous works we have done, for it's by grace through faith, not of ourselves, the gift of God. We are saved, not by ourselves, the gift of God. I remember being bound in my sin and knowing what was right, but being controlled by the power within, rebelling against the God of creation. I did that which was right in my own eyes, living the words of Solomon. I drank and be merry, are saved.
by righteous works we have done. For it's by grace through faith, not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. We are works we have done, for it's by grace through faith, not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. I remember being bound in my sin till the day that Jesus came and took me in. He gave me a new heart, turning my whole life around. There's nothing to boast in, for by Christ I have been found. We are saved. But a gift of God, we are saved, and by righteous works, for it's by grace through faith, and not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. There's nothing to boast in. We are saved. For it's by grace. There is nothing to boast in.
You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans, and that was Saved by Grace by Sean Isaacs of the duo Double. Well, our time is going really quickly, and, you know, I think we really have covered everything. We're at the point here where you have to realize that the point of decision does lie with us. We do have the power, because Isaiah 53, 3-4 explains that Jesus Christ himself, you know, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. There isn't one emotion, one thing that you face, one thing that you've gone through that Jesus Christ did not face, and that's why he came here as a man, so that in a body he could feel all that it is to be human. And so now when we pray, he can intercede before the Father in completeness, because he knows and he understands. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. You know, we have the power to shift our mind. We have the power to change how we see things. We have the power to decide that we are coming out. I do want to wish you happy Mother's Day, and I want you to live a full knowing that God has made the way for you already. Bye-bye.
I've never fallen this low before.
is this rock bottom? Cause I can't take no more. No. The enemy knew which buttons to press. Now I'm stuck in a pile of my own mess. I don't know what it will take, but I